Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics and self-regulation with business and industry leaders. Together, we seek to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series Podcast. I'm James Lee. In the science fiction film Terminator, computers designed to think and act like humans became self-aware and decided they didn't really need carbon-based life forms to go about their daily routines. Soon, the machines set out to end the pesky human race. While it's easy to dismiss such depictions of artificial intelligence as Hollywood fantasy, the use of algorithms to make decisions for we mere mortals continues to grow in scope and scale. One area in particular that is drawing attention from business leaders and public policymakers alike is AI in the hiring process. In fact, a law is now in effect in Illinois that requires employers to inform job applicants when algorithms are used to evaluate candidates in certain circumstances. At a time when top tech leaders at Google, Microsoft, Apple, Tesla, among others, are warning of the negative consequences of unfettered AI use, business leaders who just want to improve their operations and cost with the latest tech are integrating AI-driven tools at a rapid pace. But should they? And what should they know before they do? Tara Berend is an associate professor at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and is a leading researcher in how technology impacts businesses and business processes. She's joining us today to talk about the use of technology in general and artificial intelligence specifically in the hiring setting. Tara, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's kind of jump right into this because this is a topic that a lot of people are curious about, and you can find just about any opinion you want online when you start doing research. So how has technology changed the way we hire people, both the, sort of the upside and the downside?
Sure. So first, let's remember that the task of hiring is about using limited information that we can collect from somebody right now and making a prediction about the future. And as you know, predicting the future is difficult. There are lots of random events and sort of unpredictable variables that can change the way a person ends up performing, even if they seemed like a good prospect when you met them. So employee selection and hiring is really all about collecting the best information that we can about somebody and using standardized and thoughtful and fair procedures to evaluate each candidate and determine how they will do in the future. What technology can do is either help us measure human capabilities better or combine the information that we collect in a more standardized way. So in the context of a job interview, a technology-based interview might allow us to measure things about a person that we couldn't measure before, or it could help us combine all the information we collect to make a prediction about how they'll perform based on how other people like them performed. So if I'm doing a video interview, I might try to measure somebody's tone of voice or their facial expressions or how many words per answer they give, and I could use that unique information to make a prediction. Unfortunately, a lot of the information that we collect is sort of meaningless, and it ends up adding random noise to the process instead of giving us more information that's relevant to a person's performance.
So let me stop you there for a second. When you say we collect irrelevant information, what would that be? Give me an example.
Sure. So in a non-technology context, let's say I show up for an interview and I tell you I work at George Washington University, and you say, oh, wow, I went to George Washington University, and now you like me more because we have this thing in common, and you assign undue weight to that piece of information. You're now saying this person will probably be a good candidate because they went to my alma mater. That's irrelevant to their performance. An even more troublesome kind of irrelevant piece of information would be a person's race or gender or religion or their weight, all these things that we use to evaluate people that are unrelated to performance. In a technology context, it could be one of those variables, right? So an algorithm might be picking up on your race or gender, or it could be something that's just truly irrelevant, like how many times I look up and to the left in a video interview.
You're a researcher. So what does research tell us about when you introduce these new technologies into the work process, into the workplace? Are they really helpful? Are they just shiny objects, or are they disruptive? Or is it a combination of all of the above?
You might be able to predict that I would say it's all of the above. The trick is that technology isn't one thing, right? We use the word technology to mean all kinds of things, including video conferencing or automatic scoring of interviews or virtual reality. And what we do know from the research is that these technologies have different effects on people in terms of the ratings that they receive in an interview, or in terms of their reactions to the experience and how much they felt like they had a chance to show their best foot forward in the interview. In general, people tend to prefer face-to-face interaction. We feel like we can really get a sense of somebody when we look them in the eye. But the research is pretty clear that humans are not great judges of whether they're able to do so. Most people can't really suss somebody up by shaking their hand or looking in their eye. But we all like to believe that this is a skill we have, and so we tend to prefer face-to-face interaction, even when it's inferior.
Well, that's interesting. So I guess in those cases that the use of algorithmic-based technologies do result in at least a better prediction. Is that fair?
Well, sometimes yes. So it depends on the data. For prediction problems in which we have lots of good data to establish patterns, algorithms are superior because they can detect those patterns and then apply that knowledge to the new situation. So if I know, for example, that in the past, 95% of people who are left-handed end up being good candidates, then if I'm an algorithm, I can apply that knowledge and recommend that we hire the left-handed person. But if there is no good data because this is a new kind of job, or because this new candidate isn't like any of the candidates we've seen before, then there's no reason to think that our patterns from previous candidates will apply to this candidate.
You mentioned a moment ago bias. So there's, you know, if you're just a casual observer of this, the use of these kind of tools, you'll know that inherent bias is a big issue. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, whatever it is you're using, it's only as good as the person that programs it. And people have biases, whether they want to admit it or not. Bias in the hiring process is a bad thing. So is there a way around building bias into these tools?
Sure. So just to clarify what we mean by bias, we mean that some piece of information that is irrelevant to job performance has found its way into this prediction, right? So I'm again, race and gender, or religion, or left-handedness. And it is not necessarily true that an algorithm is only as good as the person who programs it. I think what's a little bit more accurate is to say that it's only as good as the data that it learned from. So every algorithm is just an equation that is meant to describe a set of data. If the data were generated on a world that is unfair, then the algorithm will describe that data back to you in a way that is unfair. So if my company never promotes women, then the performance ratings will reflect that difference. And if I'm looking at the patterns and relationships, I will notice that there are no women in senior leadership roles, and the algorithm will suggest don't hire any women because they don't do well in senior leadership roles. The problem is not the algorithm or the data. Those aren't biased. What's biased is the real world. And an algorithm can only replicate what it sees. It's only a mirror.
So that would suggest then that how you use the tool and how you and the data set you use, you have to be very, very careful going in that you don't replicate. If you've had bad hiring practices in the past, you don't want to replicate that when you're tuning your tool. So you reinsert that in the hiring process. Is that fair?
Exactly. An algorithm will predict the outcome that you tell it to predict, essentially. So if you are not promoting the right people in your company, if you are not paying people according to their worth, the algorithm won't fix that. It will just perpetuate it. So what you need to do is fix your human resources practices first. And then second, think about how to find the people that match the model of success that you actually want.
Okay, that's fascinating. I've not heard it described that way. So there's a lot of work you have to do before you ever get to the point of using some algorithmic based tool, is what I'm hearing you say.
Right. Artificial intelligence will not fix bad human resources practices.
So in a past life, when I worked at a technology company, we always used to say there is no good technology or bad technology. Technology is agnostic. And it sounds like that's still sort of the case, which kind of leads to a question I had, which was, is all AI equal? And it sounds like it's really about how you use it.
Correct. An AI or an algorithm is nothing more than an equation. And in any equation, you're trying to solve for that outcome. You have to decide as a human being which outcome is valuable to you, and the data can't really do that for you.
So I want to get to Illinois and the law that they've passed there, because that's where they were using the case that prompted this new law, which requires notice to an applicant that AI is being used to score their, for lack of a better term, performance in a job interview that's done by video. So that specific case was, it was a little bit of a black box, and there were, according to the promotional materials, there were tens of thousands of data points being evaluated by the tool as you were conducting this video interview. And Illinois says that an applicant needs to know that. What is it that businesses should consider, though, now as they're looking at, should I use those same sets of tools? In my state, I don't have a law or a regulation. What should I be looking out for, and what should I be telling applicants about the use of these tools?
It's a really good question. And I think the intent of the law is to alleviate people's discomfort more than protect their rights. So people, like I said before, prefer to be evaluated by a human because we feel like we'll have a chance to show our unique strengths as an individual. And so I think that's what's going on with that law. Separately, though, there is the question of what are we doing with all these thousands of data points, and what do they really mean and what do they really tell us about somebody? There is a real danger in this kind of data mining, where we're looking for patterns without understanding what the patterns mean. And to give you an example, let's say I discover that people who have a slight downturn to their smile end up doing better on the job. So I should look for that data point and use it in selection. Well, people talk to each other, the word will get out, and now every new candidate who shows up will make sure that they're just frowning a little bit in their interview. Right. And so now the truth of that data point, whatever it was before, it's erased because people are changing their behavior to game the system. People are amazing at this. This is something that we are all very skilled at, which is figuring out what the rules are and changing our behavior accordingly. If I tell you that these sort of irrelevant quirks are being used to select people, then you'll change your behavior to maximize those irrelevant quirks. It's like teaching to the test. But if instead you measure things that are relevant to job performance, then it's okay if people understand that and adapt their behavior because they're doing so in a way that's authentic to what the job entails.
So if I'm the employer and I'm using this tool or some similar tool in the HR process, what should be the watch out for me? What is it that I need to make sure that I'm doing to avoid the situation you just described where people gaming the system and yet still, you know, gaining the value of this probably expensive new tool?
Right. So there is a pretty clear process that I would recommend for people. The very first thing you need to do is define what successful job performance looks like according to the most important job requirements and how important and frequent those requirements are. That might sound very obvious, but it is the place that most companies fall down. If you ask them what good job performance looks like, they can't answer that question. So you're trying to predict this thing that you don't even understand. You're like, I don't know what a good manager looks like. I don't know what a good cashier looks like. So that's step one, is define very clearly what you mean by good job performance. And then step two, figure out what the skills are that are needed to do those tasks. So if I tell you that critical thinking is important in decision-making and delegation, great. Now I have a set of skills that I know I need to measure in people. And then the third step is use whatever means you have available to you to measure those skills. And those could be technology-based means or not. That's not the most important question. The key is to measure them in a way that is fair and reliable and sort of authentic to what that skill is. Technology is really opening up a lot of new doors in measuring skills, but it's not about data mining and looking for little sneaky things in algorithms. It's about using technology to create scenarios and simulations that are impossible to create in real life. It's about being able to connect to people who are very far away from you. I mean, those are the things that technology can uniquely do. Imagine hiring somebody for an EMT position and you want to see how they'll react in a crisis. It's much safer and more feasible to create a virtual crisis and ask them to act out what they would do than it is to wait for a real crisis to occur and put them in that situation.
Tara Barron, thank you for your insight today. We appreciate it very much. And thank you for listening to the BBB National Program's Better Series. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Better Series by visiting our website, bbbprograms.org. Then click on the podcast tab. You'll find all our episodes there, where you can listen on your Apple Podcast app or your favorite streaming platform.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.